4 p.m. by Separis, read by Padaka. Summary. Loosely related to 1 a.m., amicable divorces that end in everyone being friends are seriously not all they're cracked up to be. Author's notes. Thanks to S.V. Madeline for reading and correcting. Chris and any social event is a new and exciting exercise in contradiction, because weirdly, and yes, Adam should have seen this coming. Going with Chris when he was married to someone else is a universe different than going with him when he's dating him. Chris is friendly, flirtatious, and when drunk, amazingly tactile. All things that were huge motivators to drag him pretty much anywhere Adam could get him to go. But that was before, and now there's after. Before, people hit on Chris, and it was hilarious. After, weirdly enough, Adam kind of wants to kill them all. He's not picky on how, either. It's not that he doesn't recognize the irony. It's just that after 3 drinks and 5 frighteningly overt offers while he's sitting there, Adam takes a moment to indulge in self-reflection. Before, he was a really cool friend who thought it was cute to see Chris handle multiple offers in an hour period. After, he's trying to remember what that was like. Because seriously, he's 1 drink and 45 short seconds away from a behind-the-music special detailing how it all went horribly wrong, intercut with pictures of him in a hideous orange jumpsuit and the words, "life sentence," scrolling across the bottom of the screen. Then, there's the Allen family gatherings, which just goes to show that there are worse things than realizing you're kind of a jealous dick. Occasionally, there's Katie. It's not that Katie's the vengeful type. Though there are a few 2 a.m. drunk dial phone conversations that have led to not a few nightmares and serious consideration of moving himself and Chris somewhere tropical and not available on Google Maps. But more, the habit of interactions were set for them far too long ago to get over it. Because while they liked each other when they first met and everything, and sometimes they sort of admit they still do, there's also the fact that they spent 2 years fighting for Chris's attention. And you don't just get over that kind of conditioning. It would have been easier if they'd admitted this to themselves early on, but by the time Adam realized what they were actually doing, it was way too late to stop. Or, you know, want to, since he was sort of winning. Which leads to today, sharing this very special 4th of July with Chris's parents, his brother and his brother's family, an undifferentiated plethora of people who fall under the heading of relatives and friends. And Katie, Katie's new husband, and Katie's entire family. Which just goes to show that amicable divorces that ended everyone being friends are seriously not all they're cracked up to be. Example, 2 hours, and counting, of carefully negotiated conversation about the weather, sunny, and sports. In preparation for this will be a 24-hour ESPN marathon the day before with Brad and Cassidy, because fuck if he's going to suffer this shit alone. It's research. With alcohol. God, so much alcohol. This is how Adam knows it's baseball season. Probably. And the Yankees are involved. He thinks. Avoided topics. Anything Adam sang, done, worn, or had thrown at him on stage in the last 3 months. Chris's adventures in cosmetics. And the latest headlines from any entertainment site, major and minor. Lesson learned. Topics to proceed with caution, and alcohol for plausible deniability. The music industry, politics, and occasionally, random queer-eyed fashion consultant for the straight and Conway-ish. Conway will never be Paris, but that doesn't mean Adam can't damn well try. Chris wanders over with a plate and a beer, settling beside Adam on the couch before deploying his most dangerously effective weapon, pointed obliviousness. Hey, he says to Katie's dad, who just finished challenging Adam's understanding of the Twilight triple header, stabbing a piece of brisket cheerfully. What's up? Adam picks at the laces of his boots thoughtfully. The Yankees, he hazards. It was something to do with something that involved a ball and a suspicious number of primarily male groups sweating together. In retrospect, Adam could have avoided a lot of misunderstanding and a shitload of wasted time if he'd really understood why Chris liked watching those locker room interviews so much. Chris beams at how brilliantly Adam's fitting into his life and times, taking a bite of potato salad and pretends that no one is staring at the silver nail polish on 3 fingers. They got distracted before Adam could finish. Katie's sitting on the recliner in their direct line of sight, looks up from her magazine with a bright smile, and cue hideously awkward conversation times two. "Chris," she says, "I stopped by the condo in LA and picked up a couple things. You need to change cleaning services, baby. There's dust on everything." Adam stares at the ceiling for a second. Avoided topic. Do not talk about where Chris lives, because Adam's already explained his intentions to his not-quite-in-laws, and Kim Allen is totally a second mother, but she has opinions at people living together before marriage. The explanation that they couldn't get married in California was not considered sufficient, and it's not like Adam thinks she could, by sheer brute determination, force the Arkansas legislature to pass gay marriage or anything to make sure her child isn't living in unwed sin. It's that he can't prove she won't. And until then, Chris had better answer his home phone regularly, or else. Leaning into the doorway, Kim smiles at them in reminder she's well aware of the concept of forwarding. "Huh," Chris says with a commendable amount of utter bemusement. "I really should. Adam, I'm calling yours on Monday. They're really good at getting things fixed, especially after what happened in the kitchen." The room contemplates what utterly filthy acts Adam perpetuated on poor Chris in the kitchen that required a cleaning service, instead of logically assuming that they set the kitchen on fire, as people do sometimes when flambé goes so very, very wrong. Katie smiles in satisfaction. "Good idea! Adam, I hear your tour is starting soon." Not avoided topic. Really should be. "Rehearsals started last week," Adam says carefully, taking a pickle from Chris's plate to give himself time to think as other family members scent blood and wander in to watch. "We don't have a set schedule yet." "I guess Chris will get lonely in LA while he's recording," Katie says, smiling at Chris sympathetically and not implying anything about Adam alone on tour with groupies and his band. "Fun." "Nah, I'll fly out. Tommy promised to keep Adam entertained when I can't," Chris answers, sweetly sincere. There's a brief silence while everyone remembers all the YouTube footage from his concerts and judges Adam silently. "Do the beans taste funny?" Holding out his fork, Chris waits while Adam contemplates killing him softly with a song. Taking the bite reluctantly, he looks up in time to see the corner of Chris's mouth curl up and chews quickly to avoid choking on a laugh. "Not enough salt." Reaching over, he taps Chris's fingers. "You chipped the polish." Chris lifts his hand, studying it like he'd never imagined such a thing. "Huh, can you fix it for me?" Chris asks, eyes dancing, then sets down his plate, giving Katie's dad a winning smile. "Watch this for me? We'll be back." Reaching for Adam's hand, Chris pulls him unresistingly out of the utterly silent room, and Adam pretends, for the sake of his sanity, that Kim didn't just vanish into the kitchen to laugh herself sick. "I hate you," Adam mutters, but warms a little at the memory of Katie's narrow-eyed glare. "Having fun?" "Like you wouldn't believe," Chris answers, a little breathlessly, pushing him back into the wall for a kiss, slow and filthy, and sweet all at once. "Complaining?" Adam tries not to grin and fails as Chris pulls him towards their room. "No." The end. Reader's notes. Thanks again to Separus for giving Blanket permission to record her fic. If you'd like to find the text version of this fic online, it can be found at http://separus.livejournal.com/82788.html. If you'd like to download the podbook version of this fic, it can be found at paticaproductions.com. As the summary implied, this is a follow-up to 1AM, which I have also podficked and can be found at the same address. Thanks for listening.